views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
What's going on out there in the world? It is 6 after. That means it is time for Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Interesting show coming up today. We're going to have a political analyst for 2016 coming on, talking about Hillary yet again, making it out with saying she's not computer savvy, she doesn't know what's really going on with her computers, and that's going to be the excuse she's going to run on for the rest of the year about why it was okay for her to use a private email server to do classified or business work out there. So it's again, Clintonisms going out there. And hopefully at the end of the hour, we can get to some fun stuff like 65 million Instagram or Tumblr accounts getting hacked. And if you're still using MySpace, you're still susceptible to getting hacked. 427 million of those accounts are now online after being hacked recently. But our headline news today is, are you seriously kidding? Hillary Clinton, once again, has come out and is getting away with her email. And in an article written online, it says, it was bad enough that Hillary Clinton was bypassing State Department email servers, ordering subordinates to ignore rules on handling sensitive documents, and keeping her printer. Her printer. Yes, you could have gone to print.clintonemail.com and actually sent things to her printer, hypothetically, so you can print out anything you wanted on Hillary's at home and potentially classified, or the same thing that she used to print out her favorite recipes and those fun cables. But what's come out now is the configuration of her desktop computer was somehow even worse than the fact that she used this crazy email server. She said in a deposition recently, or one of her aides said in a deposition recently, that attempts to get Hillary to use a secure computer was exactly the purpose behind emailing anything or behind getting things to work. And Hillary flat out refused to do it because she said, quote, I'm not computer savvy, and that her computer was set up to potentially not have a password. And joining me on the show is Dan Perkins. He is a political analyst from 2016. He's a recent author, and he seems like he's got some opinions about what Hillary did and didn't do. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself? Thanks for having me on.
Right on, right on. So you got this article. You've seen what's going on with Hillary and the wonderful show that's going on there. What's your opinion on this?
Well, you know, I've written a lot about this. I write for The Hill and I write for The Daily Search, and Christ Daily and Reagan Baby and a lot of places. And I have to tell you, Rasmussen released a poll today, which I really don't understand what's going on. And let me tell you what the poll said. 50% of the people, just think about the number, 50% of the people out of 1,500 that Rasmussen polled said that Hillary should continue to run even if she's indicted.
Well, of course she's gonna keep running even if she's indicted. Of course the people out there are still looking for it.
Yeah, but do you understand that if she runs, let's assume that she wins, she's indicted, she can't be tried while she's president. Because the only way you can remove a president from office is through impeachment.
Now, see, that I didn't know. So she's kind of weighing the two, so that if it does come out, and it is right around the time where she takes office, hypothetically speaking, it's going to be a moot point. She gets away with violating national security, with putting people at risk, with violating cybersecurity practices that could potentially have put that made our allies upset, that they could have gotten hacked by Russia. You know, Guccifer was passing out all of her information. So she's trying to time it so that the election negates this.
And I have to tell you, I'm amazed at the number of people who, just to give you one fact, the White House pulled 22 emails that were above top secret that were on her file. Now, they refused to release them because they were above top secret. Doesn't that tell you that what she did, she was basically, they admitted, the White House admitted that she had trafficked in highly classified security information and put it on her server. She violated the law, and yet nobody seems to have the ability to understand what she did. And yet we continue, you know, and maybe that's a representation of where we are as a nation today, is that it doesn't make any difference whether our president-to-be is a criminal, is involved in trading in secrets and compromising the security of the United States government, who really cares? I mean, if that's the case, we're in serious, serious trouble as a nation.
Even as it comes down, though, I mean, we have to think about it. Did she there's been no mention as to whether or not, and this is what I would do if I were Hillary. I would turn around and say, you know what? Yeah, I used my own private server. Yeah, I had my own security. I had my own systems built. But they were clearly more secure than that of OPM, than that of the NSA director who got his private email hacked, than that of the Department of Veterans Affairs, who still runs payroll on floppy disks, and the Nuke program, who still runs everything on floppy disk drives. So it's really kind of those, right. You know, did she really do anything wrong? I mean, Edward Snowden walked out with thousands of thousands of thousands of documents, and then we had Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, whichever you want to call him or her now. But you had these two people. You have all these people that put all of this out, and they were trusted insiders. With Hillary doing what she did, does it really matter? You know, I mean, it's she took some precautions. She actually tried to build systems, and that would be an argument that I could potentially hear somebody else giving.
But the Inspector General's report that was released last week clearly points out that they were concerned about her server already being hacked because they turned it off to try and stop the attack, at least two occasions. And yet, she didn't report it to the security people what happened. And she didn't go to the security people.
Okay, Dan, apologize, man. I got to cut you off. We're getting ready to go to break. If you guys are just tuning in, this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. Check it out. Go over to charlestendell.com and stay connected. We'll be right back after this break.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
This is an important notice to anyone owing the IRS back taxes and cannot afford to pay them back. In order to aid American taxpayers during the decline in the U.S. economy, settling delinquent tax problems is now being made easier by the IRS. As of today, you could be one of the millions of taxpayers that now may qualify to settle your delinquent tax problem, ensuring your financial stability and potentially save you thousands of dollars. Your circumstances may qualify you for many special hardship programs, which include having all collection efforts against you stopped and having a large portion or all of your debt canceled. If you're under pressure from the IRS and need help, settling your tax problem has never been easier. Each taxpayer has a limited time they can qualify for relief, so you must act now. For this free information and to see if you qualify, call Victory Tax Solutions at 800-352-4757. 800-352-4757. That's 800-352-4757.
You've all heard of fibromyalgia, the condition that amplifies painful sensations, fatigue, and mood swings. Tired of taking drugs that don't fix the problem? Well, Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado and Dr. Chris Steiner have created a program with no surgery, drugs, or injections, but with real results. Here's Crystal.
And I came to see Dr. Steiner for migraines, fibromyalgia. I have feeling back in my hands and feet. My vertigo has stopped. I'm not falling. Fibromyalgia has let up. The migraines are under control. Everything seems much better, and it is one of the best things I have ever done for myself.
Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado treats many types of chronic pain, and they have treatment programs for ADD and ADHD. Call Dr. Steiner at 303-660-2668 or visit them online at chronicconditionsco.com. That's chronicconditionsco.com. We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
I always just wait till the cowbell shows up, because in everyone's life, you need just more cowbell. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you are just tuning in, I'm talking to Dan Perkins. He's a political analyst out there. We're talking about Hillary Clinton yet again seems to be skirting by with the email craziness and her complete lack of cybersecurity, or at least technological skills. If you want to get caught up on this show, or you've missed past shows, go over to charlestendell.com, click the subscribe button, follow the podcast, subscribe, fill out a form, the contact forms over there, or shoot me an email to hacked@charlestendell.com. If you're listening on your mobile device and you've got it in your hand right now, go over to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. From there, you can send me a text message right to the show. You can check out some of the other personalities in the KDMT lineup and see who else is out there. And coming back to you, Dan, so right before the break, we were talking about she's going to make it out. She's going to make it all the way to potentially Inauguration Day. She's kind of thumbed her nose at everybody else out there that's saying, you know, I didn't need your security. I got to be able to do it my way. What gives a Clinton the right or the clout to be able to do that, and still people expect that she's going to make it?
Because she represents what is in our country, I am ashamed to say, is a protected class. And they're protected by the news media, by and large, going back to Bill. If you look at, I mean, just take one question. How is it that Hillary Clinton, who's declared that there's a war on women in the United States, can take millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia, who under Sharia law persecutes women and degrades women in Saudi Arabia? How do you morally justify? And I'm going to say something.
No, wait, back that up. You're saying that Hillary Clinton is taking money from people that are victimizing women in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And that's
because
coming from
real law.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from the way the women are treated in Saudi Arabia under Sharia law. They can't drive. They can't go out in public without another man from their family. There are tremendous restrictions on what a woman can do in Saudi Arabia. But when
that's a cultural difference that goes back. It goes back hundreds of thousands of years. That's
true.
Her aligning herself where their money is. That's kind of what the Clintons do. I mean, that's what their job is. That's how they exist in the world. You know, I mean, I want to be someone who gets paid $250,000 to show up for 10 minutes, have a conversation, and leave. But it doesn't really surprise me that she would align herself, or the Clintons would align themselves, with where billions of dollars are.
I agree. And I think part of the reason is, you know, when there's famous Hillary interview where she said that when she and Bill left the White House, they were broke. And they now have a net worth estimated to be in excess of $200 million.
Well, again, that's an accurate statement, because as they were president and first lady, they had no access to all of their money, if there was any money before they became president and first lady. Now, I do remember the story about when they left the White House, they took $50,000 worth of stuff that they had to in turn give back.
Right. They took all the W keys off all the keyboards in the West Wing.
Did they really?
Yes, they took all the W keys off, because that's how George Bush was known, as W, because it was George W. Bush. But the point here is that what is it about them that there is this insatiable appetite for two things, power and money? And I think it comes from, and I don't take any originality credit for this, it's conversations that I've had with psychiatrists and psychologists. Because Bill was poor, people who come from poverty to success never have enough money, because they're afraid that somebody will come and take it away. And so the idea of the Clinton Foundation and the value that it's doing versus what it's providing to Bill and Hillary in terms of stipends or whatever is an example of their thirst for money. And, you know, the Clinton Foundation did a big program in Haiti, but it hasn't changed anything. Why? Because one of the contractors was Hillary's brother-in-law. And all this nepotism abounds. It's representational. I really believe what Bernie and Donald are about is anti Hillary and what she represents, which is
we can dance around that one. We can dance around that one all day. I mean, it's who Bernie is almost the exact opposite. But Bernie's not the best solution in this case, at least not for someone, not in my opinion, because I mean,
go look at Venezuela, that utopia.
Let's take from one place and move it to another place. I mean, what we honestly need is a new revenue stream. What we honestly need as a country is to make more money and to spend said money more appropriately, as opposed to just taking from the people who are already working. I mean, that hasn't worked in the past, and it's not going to work again. And which, by the way, if you are just joining, this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. If you got a question, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. To get you on and get you involved in the conversation, or you can go over to charlestendell.com and subscribe and do all that other wonderful stuff. Or if you're really interested in doing some craziness, go over to facebook.com or go to charlestendell.com and follow the Facebook link and actually watch the live stream of this show on Facebook. But going back to you, Dan, so it's we've got Bernie, who wants to take from the already broke and give it to supposedly the more broke. And then you've got Donald Trump, who has come out and made these different statements about how he wants to get other people to start paying for the services that the United States is actually providing, whether it be protection, whether it be military forces, whether it be his crazy idea about building a wall and making Mexico pay for it or collecting on debt. That's what we need, is someone who's going to actually create a new revenue stream as opposed to going out and just trying to spend what we've already got.
I absolutely agree with you. In fact, I wrote a piece, I think it was for the Daily Surge, that basically says, I didn't use the concept of a new revenue stream, but I did talk about the fact that we have, in the last jobs report, I'm a registered investment advisor. I manage money for people in addition to being an author and other stuff, but I've been managing money for 43 years in private practice. Mm-hmm. And when at the beginning of May, when the April jobs number came out, the government reported that we added 160,000 new jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, the street's consensus was 220,000, and Goldman Sachs was 250. However, what wasn't very well reported is that in the same time that we said we created 160,000 new jobs, 560,000 people left the workforce, meaning that the people in this country underemployed or unemployed is now 94.5 million people.
Well, wait. You can run those numbers all day, and it's you know, I remember the play on it where they were saying that President Obama was helping jobs, but it was really just people coming off the system, and you know, people are leaving the job working force going everywhere else, because there's an entire game that you can run where you can get, you know, a $300,000 house, two kids, and a phone and rent and everything else paid for by the government. So it's easier to actually game the system than it is to actually contribute. But the other portion of it is, we've got a good chunk of people in this country that still feel that, hey, I've got XYZ degree, or I've got, you know, Y, you know, certification or whatever it is. I am not going to go out here and do these minimum wage remedial jobs. I'm just not going to do it. So you have people who are choosing not to contribute. It's not all about people just can't find a job.
Oh, I don't disagree with you there. But what I'm saying is that we have, you want to talk about revenue? If we had somebody to come in and had the vision to be able to start the process of finding ways to bring that $2 trillion that's overseas back into the United States to start creating jobs, and not minimum wage jobs, but good paying jobs, we're going to start putting people to work. And as you put people to work, you move them off the welfare roll to the payroll, and they change their whole self-esteem. But more importantly, the government starts to generating tax revenue because more and more people are employed. This government cannot survive on less than 2% GDP. And the first quarter second revision was 0.8% on an annualized basis is what GDP is starting out this year. We cannot survive longer term as a country because we'll wind up like Venezuela. We're at 106%. Our debt is 106% of the gross domestic product in the United States. And we're talking
now,
about bailing out.
Now, why
Puerto
is
Rico.
That? Why is that? Why are we now in debt more than we're making?
Because the government decided that from the time that Obama took office, the deficit, the debt of this country doubled from $9.5 trillion to $18 trillion, $19 mm-hmm. trillion, now approaching 20. Mm-hmm. The gross domestic product of this country is only $15 trillion a year. It's that mm-hmm. because we don't have enough people at work. We're not growing the businesses. We're not growing as a country. So we keep adding more debt. This year, the Office of Management Budget says that the deficit for this year, calendar fiscal year 2016, will be $543 billion.
And again, I get that the number continues to go up, and I get that the Fed, you know, is trying to print money. I get that President Obama is trying to figure out where things are, but we've only got a finite amount of actual currency, of actually printing money floating around in the world.
Right.
Like, we can't go
right.
past a certain level, and as we begin to tip that scale,
right.
it's really one of those, we need to bring what we've sent out back, or this whole system just doesn't work at all. So it's really
yeah.
one of those, it's hard to do. I mean, Trump's got a bunch of great ideas, but how is that actually going to play out on the global economy scale?
But let me help you there. I mean, it's a good, great question. Very, you're a great interviewer, by the way. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you.
What's going on here is that I'm 70 years old. I'll be 71 next month.
And congratulations.
Thank you. I've survived this long and married 48 years to the same woman. But what's clear to me is that we have a situation where one person can make a dramatic change in our country, in our economy. Ronald Reagan did it. If I don't know how old you are, but I was around when Jimmy Carter was president, and I saw this country with an incredible malaise. Carter, the president, told us the best years of America are behind us. Turn mm-hmm. down your thermostats, put on sweaters, don't light your Christmas trees, don't put outside decorations. And then we had 41 or 47 hostages taken by Iran. We had a rescue mission.
He also went out and went to put people to work, but we're getting ready to go to break, so I apologize again for cutting you off, but it's one of those things where we have to build a better system. We have to encourage more people. But we'll get back to that when we come back after this break. Don't go anywhere. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690.
SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Donald Trump has provided a list of charities that benefited from a January fundraiser. And at a news conference today, Trump also had a list of negative descriptions for reporters who have pressed him about distribution of the funds he said he raised for veterans. A former Tulsa County, Oklahoma volunteer sheriff's deputy who said he mistook his handgun for his stun gun when he fatally shot an unarmed suspect last year has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Wealthy insurance executive Robert Bates, who is 74, was convicted of second-degree manslaughter last month. Bates was a friend of then-Sheriff Stanley Glantz and had donated cash, vehicles, and gear to the agency. The evenly divided U.S. Supreme Court could wind up with another hot-button issue, transgender bathrooms. A federal appeals court in Virginia refused today to reconsider a three-judge panel's ruling on the matter. This is SRN News.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. Hear from key leaders in Colorado's business community advocating for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help business grow and thrive in Colorado, as well as helping to make Colorado the best place to live now and for generations to come. Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 and MoneyTalk1690.com.
What's wrong, Ud? Your garage and garage door are the talk of the caves.
One problem.
What?
It closes, but it won't open. Ever try to escape a crazed brontosaurus and your garage door doesn't open?
No. But you remember Don? He not only builds garage doors, he repairs them.
Is he fast?
As fast as you are with a hungry brontosaurus on your heels.
Then he's my cave guy.
Okay, so maybe the garage door repair wasn't born quite that way. But the good news is today, Don offers you something special. After all, a broken garage door can make you miserable in a hurry. Well, Don's has seen it all. And since 1989, they've repaired thousands of doors so they gain new life and offer years of trouble-free performance. So, if you hear squeaks, squawks, rumbles, rattling, and other telltale signs you're going to need a repair, and soon, visit donsgaragedoors.com and schedule a service call. donsgaragedoors.com. Don's Garage Doors.
Point, click, bam! ColoradoAutoMall.com. Thousands of cars, trucks, boats, RVs, and motorcycles virtually at your fingertips. Colorado Auto Mall. That's your front range dealer's inventory of new and used vehicles for the local shopper. Photos, descriptions, options, make, model, and body style. It's all there at ColoradoAutoMall.com. The research tool you need to find your next ride could not be easier to use. Your next ride is online and on sale at ColoradoAutoMall.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Because it's dirty deeds done pretty expensively if you're a Clinton. It's 33 minutes after the hour, and you're coming back to Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Dan Perkins, and if you've got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or you can head over to charlestendell.com, click the subscribe button, follow, so all of the people out there know I'm actually doing well, and I can get some good feedback, and I can know I'm doing well. Go over there, fill out the contact form, shoot me an email to hacked@charlestendell.com, or go into your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can listen to the show live, and you can send me text messages. So my guest, again, is Dan Perkins. Now, Dan, we were talking before the break, we were talking about the income and how the country, and I said company. See that? I almost said company. How this company that we call the United States of America is bleeding right. money. And it's bleeding money yes. because the leadership of the country isn't running it like a company. We are giving away things right. that we're good at, and you should never do those for free.
Right. And I was making the point that one person can make a difference. Jimmy Carter took us to the depths of as a nation. Ronald mm-hmm. Reagan came back and saved us. And Barack Obama ran on the concept of hope and change. And we never had to change either in terms of money, and we didn't get a whole lot of hope, but we built this tremendous that under the Obama administration in 7.5 years, they have issued 6,600 regulations. That's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they have to hire 35,000 bureaucrats to administer the regulations.
Now,
the next president mm-hmm. can make the change. He or she will have an opportunity to also make change.
Well, this is something that my wife and I actually talk about all the time, is even if, say, Trump becomes president, even if Hillary yep. becomes president, the first 4 years, they're not going to get anything done. It's going to be adjusting, changing, understanding, or doing away with things that Obama did. So the first 4 years in office, nothing's going to change.
Well, I would respectfully, Charles, disagree with you on this basis. If
I like disagreements.
If Mr. Trump or a qualified Republican wins the presidency and we change, we don't change the leadership and don't change the dominance of the Republicans in the House and the Senate, I believe an enormous amount is going to get done very quickly.
Now, wait.
If Hillary's elected, mm-hmm. we've got a Republican-controlled Congress, then not much is going to get done unless she uses executive orders.
I can partially agree with you that if Trump is there and it's a Republican Congress, I can see how machines are going to start moving, because Donald Trump currently owns, or everybody in Congress currently either is owned by him or owes him a favor one way or another, because Donald Trump is one of the richest men in the world, right? No one's really going to oppose him. And as I've watched over the course of the last couple of months, I've seen – I remember Bill O'Reilly originally was all anti-Trump. Now he's like Trump's best friend. You know, Megyn Kelly was very anti-Trump, and now she's talking about playing with the man's hair and how real that is and so on and so forth. So you connect the dots where you are. Trump is calling in, for lack of a better term, his Trump cards. And the people are shifting to him. So which it sounds like you're saying is the only way to enact real change in this country, and again, I said company, is Donald Trump. Like, the only way we can get there is through Donald Trump. If we've got Hillary, she's going to have an uphill battle, and people on both sides. People aren't going to trust her. People aren't going to know what's going on. We don't know whether our secrets are being leaked to insert other foreign government here, or we get Bernie Sanders, who is going to get so much fight from business owners and from people like myself who are like, yeah, no, you're not going to dip in my pocket to pay that person over there. So the only real way to fix this is to bring in Donald Trump.
Here's a question that I wish some reporter would ask Hillary Clinton. Actually, it's two questions. Normally speaking, when a person is elected president, if they have amassed a reasonable degree of wealth, they put their money in a blind trust. Money going into a blind trust means that the president has no right to have any decision-making power on how that money is invested or what happens to it during the term of their presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So the two questions that need to be asked of Hillary: if you were to win the presidency, would you put your $200 million, your hard-earned $200 million, in a blind trust and let somebody else manage it for you? And two, would you, Bill and Chelsea, recuse yourself from any activities while you're president at the Clinton Foundation?
Not a chance, because the political leverage that the Clintons have sits in the Clinton Foundation. The money that has been paid into that is designed to actually steer and create a president. That's the whole point of the Clinton Foundation, at least in my opinion. That's what it looks like from an outsider. You know, the money goes in here, and it's for, hey, let me grease this wheel a little bit, and, you know, let me lobby you a little bit so that you can do what it is that I want. The problem, or the difference here, is that Trump has been doing this his entire life. And the Clintons have only been doing it since when they were president. And because, you know, it wasn't just Bill president. It was both of them.
Right. And so we have a situation where I wrote a story about this, about what we're talking about. A Midwestern college was given an opportunity to choose from two speakers for a commencement. One was Colin Powell, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of State.
Awesome guy.
For $50,000, or you could have Chelsea Clinton for $75,000, and she said she would donate all of her $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
So mom and dad kept the money.
So who got the job, Chelsea or Colin Powell?
It was definitely Chelsea. I mean, there's no way to stack it any other way. It's got to be Chelsea.
Yeah, because the president of the college knew that the government's responsible for helping fund part of her college, and getting to the president through the daughter was a much better political path, because Colin Powell nice man, a lot of experience, could have helped their graduates, couldn't help her very much.
That's exactly how it worked.
So you said that as we were talking, and that's exactly when you said that, I reminded me of the article that I wrote on influence and mm-hmm. why, you know, you said early in the program, why was she getting she got $250,000, or Bill got $750,000 or $1 million for a speech. Not mm-hmm. because he was such a great orator or what he had to say was worth a lot of it. They were basically using it as a vehicle, as you said earlier, to transfer money to the Clinton Foundation, which ultimately benefited. Do you know that there's an organization called, are you familiar with an organization called Charity Watch?
Vaguely. I think those are the same guys that outed the Habitats for Humanity people or whoever it was they were stealing or embezzling money, right?
Yes. Charity Watch rates the nonprofits, 501c3s in the country. 18 years ago, Charity Watch removed the rating on the Clinton Foundation and did so by saying, we don't know how to figure out this model.
Mm-hmm.
18 years later, they still haven't figured out the business
how to
plan
do it.
For the Clinton Foundation so
right.
they can rate it. So
well,
they haven't
Dan,
rated
I know,
it for 18 years.
I know you've got a hard stop here at the last break, so I want to give you a chance to,
yes.
unless you want to hang out and continue this conversation, because we can, but if you need to go...
maybe you'll invite me back to come on again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I like having conversations. That's kind of how it works on this show, is you have a conversation and other people
right.
get to listen in.
Right.
But tell people how they can get you, how they can get your book.
The book, the trilogy is called The Brotherhood of the Red Nile. It's a story about a terrorist group, radical Islamic terrorist group that has purchased two old Soviet Union Su-30 bombs, working with the Iranian nuclear program, convert into the weapons of mass destruction and bring them into the United States through the southern border and detonate both bombs in the United States. Called The Brotherhood of the Red Nile. It's a trilogy, three books.
And I'm really hoping that's a fiction.
if you read it, you're going to be wondering, because a lot of stuff that's in the book are happening right now. That's available at Amazon. It's available in hard copy, paperback, ebook, and audiobook. The audiobooks are absolutely phenomenal.
Right on.
The guy who produced them for me is a
Well, Dan, I apologize again. The music means I got to cut you off. We're going out to break. Dan, you've been a fantastic guest. I'll have you back sometime. So thank you again for being here. Guys, don't go anywhere. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. Coming back after the break, we're going to talk news. If you use MySpace, you might have been hacked. Don't go anywhere.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. You want to relax. You want to feel fabulous. Reduce stress. Pamper yourself. Detoxify your body. Well, you need to visit Me Spa in Belmar Shopping Center. Find out what the ultimate pampering experience feels like and what better way to do it than for half price. For a limited time, our Chief Bargain Hunter is featuring a $100 gift certificate for just $50. And the only place you'll find it is on DenverHalfPrice.com. Or just click the Bargain Hunter link at 710KNUS.com or KRKS.com. This month, Me Spa will be celebrating our hard-working teachers. What better way to celebrate and relax from another exciting school year than at Me Spa? Become the very best version of you by relaxing your mind, renewing your body, and reviving your soul. You can do it only at Me Spa. That's a $100 certificate for just $50, folks, and you can find it only on DenverHalfPrice.com. Or just click the Bargain Hunter link at 710KNUS.com or KRKS.com.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I wanted to share some of my experiences with Go Sober. I am a business owner here in Colorado and had been thinking about going sober literally for about 4 years. One of my biggest choices about going with Go Sober was that I'm a pretty private person, and when my alcohol addiction started, it started very privately. And when my rehabilitation started with Go Sober, it allowed me to rehabilitate privately, and having the flexibility of not having to go into into a treatment program, going away from my family, away from my job. The infusions allowed me to put a reset button on loving myself again. My first infusion, I could go right past that neighborhood liquor store and not even think about stopping in and grabbing a bottle of wine. What's next for me is rediscovering all those things that I've lost.
Call Go Sober at 303-827-4837 or visit their website at gosober.org.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
And we're coming up in the last 15 minutes of Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you missed this segment, go over to charlestendell.com, subscribe to the podcast. You can pick up this show. You can pick up past shows. We've been going for a while now, so there's a lot of great stuff out there. We're, you know, we've been bouncing around on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Even had a whole show about how sexting can make someone a felon and whether or not that's right or wrong. We had an online dating show. There's a lot out there where you could go and get caught up. So go to charlestendell.com, click the subscribe button, check out the past shows, fill out a form, send me an email. You can send an email directly to hacked@charlestendell.com, or you can download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store and shoot me a text. I think we were having some technical issues with that thing last week, but I think they got it all ironed out because the crew is awesome and they're doing wonderful things. So you got plenty of ways to connect on this one. So do you guys, I don't know who else still uses this. I don't use it. I even went over there when I first read this to see if my old account was still up there. But MySpace is joining the team of headliners, but not in a good way at all. Not even close. So it looks like MySpace, while it is still a thing, which was a surprise to most people, got hacked. And 427 million, that's million with an M, users' emails and passwords have been dumped online to the same social media site that actually had control over LinkedIn's 164 million. And even before that, had all these different places out there. So if you're running on MySpace, it came out today that MySpace is the latest to join the team about being hacked and these types of tools, these types of software, this types of information being dumped on the internet. So if you still use it, which I don't know how you would, I don't know anybody who does. And the last I remember back in the day, it used to be, hey, myspace.com/everything. And you know, I remember even seeing the memes before they were memes, but it was the comic strips that used to say, you know, MySpace was picking on Facebook because nobody cared who Facebook was. Facebook was a non-issue, and now the tables have turned. And I think it was originally supposed to be for like music and producers and things of that nature. So if you're one of those people and you're still clinging on to your MySpace days, or if you had a MySpace account that you'd completely forgotten about, that you had shut down, that you haven't used, you might think you shouldn't be worried about this. You might say, hey, I've never used it. There was no personal data there. But ask yourself this question. Is the password you used on your MySpace used anywhere else? And if you can't flat out in this very second say no, absolutely not, you need to go and start changing passwords right now. Or you can go over to leaked source, L-E-A-K-E-D source, Google it, you'll find it, and punch in what you thought might have been your MySpace username or the email attached to your MySpace. Or just wait in the next couple of days. MySpace will send out their funny email that says, hey, we got hacked. We think you might have been in here as a precaution. We've done this. That protects their systems, but it doesn't protect you. So leaked source, L-E-A-K-E-D, source, Google it. I think it's a .com. Punch in your email address and find out whether or not you were in that. Remember, this has nothing to do with what you had stored on MySpace. Scary, I know, because MySpace had a lot of things on it. And it was, I mean, I remember what I used it for. I know what my friends used it for. And it was like an overglorified hookup site, depending on who you were. But, and you know, you had some pictures, you had some other stuff tied up in there that you were sending out there, and those intimate messages or all the crazy stuff that you did out there. It's still there. It's still stored somewhere. But now your account information is probably online. So go out there, start changing your passwords and have some fun. Check out Leak Source and find out whether or not you were in that one. In other related
fun social media hack news. Not quite this 427 million as reported on MySpace, but a slightly larger, I don't know, is it larger? Or if it's kind of half larger, I don't know. I don't know how many people, I don't know any people personally who use Tumblr, but Tumblr is also joining the headline companies of losing millions of passwords. Now, this is Tumblr from way back in the day. It looked like they got breached back in 2013 before they were acquired by Yahoo. And at the time, Tumblr didn't reveal the number of users that actually got hacked because they were small and Yahoo didn't care. And again, this is back in 2013. But security researcher Troy Hunt has the database from 2013 now over on his website on haveibeenpwned.com, haveibeenpwned.com, and says that it is 65,469,298 account credentials were leaked from the 2013 Tumblr data breach. So yet again, if you haven't changed your passwords in the last few days, and you know what, I've got a better solution for you. You know, don't worry about changing your passwords. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, and I know I'm going to get a lot of people who are going to be like, oh my goodness, Charles just said don't worry about changing your passwords. Go out there and enable two-factor authentication. Two-factor authentication. If you got questions on how to do that, you can go over to charlestendell.com. You can click the subscribe button and listen to old shows because I've explained it once before, maybe not in detail. Or you can shoot me an email to hacked@charlestendell.com. Or you can download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store. Send me a text message and ask for more information on how to enable two-factor authentication on most, if not all, of your social media profiles. Now, I say most, if not all, because certain banks, certain smaller sites, certain little things don't have this. And two-factor authentication is simple. Basically, it is your password, so something that you know, and then something that you have, which is your phone, or that you receive a text message or an app that creates a code. Facebook's been doing it for a long time, and if you're on Facebook and you're not using the code generator inside the Facebook app, you really should be. It's easy. Go to the app. Bottom right-hand corner has got a little accordion menu. You can scroll down to it, and you can find the code generator in there. Enable it. Enabling two-factor authentication on any of your devices, on any of your accounts, one, brings it all tied back to your mobile device. So even if I, the bad guy, end up stealing your account information, you know, trying to log in or doing all that other stuff, I could have your passwords all day. I could either have the 65 million from Tumblr, the 427 million from MySpace. I can have the what was it, 123 million from LinkedIn. You know, I can have all of these. And you know what? I bet you $10 if Hillary had used this, there would have been no conversation about whether she used security or not, because she would have been on the level of some other people. But go and turn this on. You can use the same weak password, the fluffy 123 password. I wouldn't recommend it. In fact, I would highly recommend against it. But if you absolutely must do it, you can still use the fluffy 123, pet's name 123 password, and enable two-factor verification. Why? Because it'll make life easier. And in order for them at that point to hack you, to hack your account, they actually have to come over and steal your phone. They have to send, you know, somebody with a baseball bat. They have to send somebody crazy over there to get you to physically take this code out of your hand or figure out another way to otherwise intercept this code. So enabling two-factor verification or two-step authentication on most, if not all, of your stuff can make a world of difference. And you really wouldn't have to worry much about whether you got hacked on Facebook, whether you got hacked on LinkedIn, or anything of that nature, because you'll get a notification with that code, and if they don't have it, they can't log in to be you. So in other news, Anonymous. We talked about Anonymous earlier in the show, not this show, but past shows. And again, go to charlestendell.com, hit the subscribe button, and pick it up. You can see it. It's in the title. It's all there, charlestendell.com. You can find all the old shows and listen to this one. Anonymous, the previous headline, was Anonymous took aim at Mayor Michael Hancock because of his crazy or because of his legislation and his rulings and his policies on the homeless program in Denver, where the Denver police and everyone else were scooping up or rounding up all of these homeless people and turning, you know, saying the right to camp is illegal and putting him in shelters and so on and so forth. Well, Anonymous came back into the news recently, and everybody was trying to figure out who was doing it. You know, what was Anonymous up to at this point? But Donald Trump's tax returns look like they ended up out on the internet, and somebody out there put out I don't know whether it was a fake article or anything, but it was a mysterious post that said Anonymous hacks IRS database, which is funny because last week we talked about how the IRS and certain other government agencies are running all of their systems on floppy disks and hardware and software from the 80s, which is scary. But again, check out the old shows over on CharlesTendell.com. But the headline was Anonymous hacks IRS database and publishes Trump's tax returns. But they came out and said that they didn't do it. So the article goes on to say there is little doubt that Anonymous is a huge movement. And if you don't understand who Anonymous is, they are a large, what I like to call and what they have been labeled as, hacktivist group. Now, Anonymous is based on a large part on ideology. Information should be free, and the people who are corrupt and the people who are trying to use information incorrectly or trying to use it against you or to suppress you, those people should be punished. Those people should have their personal information put out. So, you know, Donald Trump is clearly a natural target for some people because he can't possibly be anything but evil. At least that's some people's opinion. But the article goes on. There's little doubt that Anonymous is a huge movement which doesn't have any official leadership, and that is precisely the reason it often gets hijacked by malicious actors who use it for their own profit or to spread fake hacks and even highly condemnable activities like pedophilia. Good word, long word, yeah, but they did get blamed for something like that, and it wasn't Anonymous that did it. A similar thing happened earlier this week, last week, when so-called Anonymous hackers, air quote, for those of you watching over on Facebook, it's air quote for you. For those of you listening on the radio, it's air quote, claimed to have hacked into the servers of the IRS, subsequently stealing and leaking tax return records of American billionaire and presidential candidate Donald Trump. However, there's a twist, because this is a fake, and no one broke into the servers of the Internal Revenue Service, nor did anyone leak records on Donald Trump. That's because Trump never released his tax returns, but plans to release them once the audit is completed. The fake news was originally posted on a satire website. Yes, people, they exist. If you're on Facebook, most of the memes that you see on Facebook that have crazy statistics in them are fake. They're either from a satirical website or someone didn't do any research. So, yes, research everything that you get out there on the internet. Just research them. Please just research them. Don't take everything at face value. Go and look. Even the things that I'm telling you right now. If you don't believe two-factor is a good idea, you don't believe MySpace got hacked, you don't believe that LinkedIn got hacked, you don't believe any of that other stuff, go out there, Google it, and find out, and then come back and tell me if I was wrong. That way, I can update it. But don't buy a lot of stuff like this, because it's just going to drive you mad. So, coming up later in the week on Hacked, we're going to be talking about all sorts of great things. We've got more Hillary Clinton things in the mail. We've got more Donald Trump stuff in the mail. We've got a security researcher who yet again seems to be getting ready to go to jail because he did the right thing. So tune in later in the week. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'll catch you tomorrow.